being a pastor and somewhat of a religious nerd, I have created an Advent playlist for the season, not a Christmas playlist, but an Advent playlist. And in addition to traditional Advent favorites like O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, and Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, I have also discovered more contemporary Advent songs, one of which is by an alternative Christian rock group called Reliant K, and it's called In Like a Lion. The song uses the season of winter and spring as a metaphor for the waiting and longing we have for new birth in the midst of the difficulties and hardships we experience in our lives. The lyrics go like this. It's always nice to look out the window and see those very first few flakes of snow. And later on, we can go outside and create the impression of an angel that just fell from the sky. When February rolls around, I'll roll my eyes and turn a cold shoulder to these even colder skies. And by the fire, my heart, it heaves a sigh for the green grass waiting on the other side. And the chorus goes, it's always winter, but never Christmas. It seems this curse just can't be lifted. Perhaps we can relate to the composer's lament. At a season that bids us to be happy and upbeat, as it's the most wonderful time of the year, perhaps we can relate to the feeling at times that it's always winter, but never Christmas. This season is not necessarily one that is filled with joy and happiness for everyone. Many people experience more pain and loneliness during this time of the year than at other times. Also, there's so much rush and hurry and worry with all the preparations that are to be made to create the perfect Christmas. The cooking, the shopping, the baking, the decorating, the wrapping, the parties, the endless list of things to do. Many of us end up exhausted and disenchanted with the whole thing by the time January rolls around. I saw a Facebook post from a friend of mine that says, all I want for Christmas is a season with nothing to do. And perhaps many of us can relate. This feeling is exacerbated by the current news cycles of contentious partisan politics, mass shootings, natural disasters, addiction, poverty, and death in so many ways. At times, it's normal to feel like it's always winter, but never Christmas. Yet in the midst of all that is going on in our world and all the personal difficulties and suffering and hardships we endure, we Christians are called to be people of hope. The rest of the chorus of this song affirms, yet in the midst of all this ice and snow, our hearts stay warm because they are filled with hope. Hope is a major theme of the Advent season, a major aspect of our calling as Christians. We are called to be a people of hope, people who proclaim hope in Jesus Christ, and people who live out that hope in our daily lives. I love the season of Advent. I think no other season of the year speaks to our calling as Christ followers to live as people of hope in a fallen world. Episcopal priest Fleming Rutledge says, the disappointment, brokenness, suffering, and pain that characterizes life in this present world is held in dynamic tension with the promise of future glory that is to come. In that Advent tension, the church lives its life. It speaks to this already not yet tension we've talked about many times. God's kingdom has come and Jesus is present with us in the Spirit, but the world is still clearly not as God would have it be. We still experience pain and suffering and violence and grief and ultimately physical death. We live in this in-between time of Christ's first and second comings, a time when it feels like it's always winter but never Christmas. We're spending this Advent season exploring our calling as a church, who we are called to be, and how we are going to live out that calling as Jesus followers. I'm drawing inspiration from our theology and polity to talk about our calling. Last week, we looked at our calling to be people of faith. Today we're going to explore what it means to be people of hope, even when the world at times looks pretty hopeless. What does it mean to live as people of hope? Well, we'll look at this today. According to our tradition, it says the church is to be a community of hope, rejoicing in the sure and certain knowledge that in Christ God is making a new creation. This new creation is a new beginning for human beings, human life for all things. The church lives in the present on the strength of that promise of new creation. If we're honest, I think it is hard at times to live as a community that is rejoicing in the sure and certain knowledge that in Christ God is making a new creation. A brief listen to the news or a scroll through social media challenges our sure and certain hope that God is making a new creation in Christ. Just as the prophets and faithful people of old longed for God's redemption and waited thousands of years for the promise of the Messiah to come, we too long for the world to become as God desires it to be. We long for God's kingdom to come in fullness, so that the way God wants things done is done here on earth as it is in heaven. We're weary of the bad news, of the violence, of the fear, of the uncertainty, of the sickness, of the suffering, and of the grief. We long to be set free from this seemingly futile cycle of the bad and the wrong that keeps getting the upper hand. We long for new life and new birth. In the song I referenced earlier, the composer muses, "It'd be so nice to look out the window and see the leaves on the trees begin to show. The birds would congregate and sing, a song of birth, a song of newer things. The wind would calm and the sun would shine. I'd go outside and I'd squint my eyes. But for now I will simply just withdraw, sit here and wish for this world to thaw." How many of us at times would prefer to withdraw and sit and wish for the world to thaw? Romans 8 speaks of the longing for all creation to be made new. Getting in verse 22, it says, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Of course, this hope doesn't necessarily come easy to us, and patience isn't a virtue of which many of us boast. We need the Spirit's help to sustain us amidst the difficult times we face in this world and with each other. The Christian hope is not just blasting off and going to heaven when we die as everything else burns away, but of heaven, God's realm fully coming to earth and becoming one under God's loving reign. Until then, we live in this in-between time, a seemingly perpetual advent where we keep waiting and longing and watching and hoping for God's new creation. Yet in the midst of this, we are called to be a community of hope. We can live in the hope of this new kingdom reality right here and now, even as we wait for it to come fully. Paul encourages the churches he founded and served to live into this new kingdom reality, even as they struggled with daily life together, waiting for the fullness of God's kingdom to come. In our passage from Romans 15, Paul speaks about the importance of living together in harmony and of showing hospitality to each other and their community. Beginning in verse 2, he says, "Each of us must please our neighbor for the good purpose of building up the neighbor. For Christ did not please himself. Whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." The fledgling church in Rome was struggling to live into the kingdom reality of being one, being united in Christ. There were two major ethnic groups, Jews and Gentiles, who did not naturally get along with each other and didn't seem to have a lot in common with each other, yet in Christ were bound together. Paul prays for them, verse 5, "May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." By learning to live together in harmony, these two naturally contentious groups were demonstrating what life in God's new kingdom looks like. They were learning to put each other's needs above their own. They were learning to bear with one another, to forgive one another, to live reconciled with one another, even as God had reconciled them to himself in Christ. Verse 7, "Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God." In welcoming each other and welcoming the stranger in their midst, they were demonstrating the kingdom of God's abundance and welcome and fellowship and generosity and mercy. This was God's plan to include all people in redemption. The Gentiles who were once considered outside of God's redemption were now to be included. The two groups that were once natural enemies were now coming together as friends and siblings to show the world what true community looks like. And we are to live the same way in our time. We are called to show hospitality to one another, to welcome each other, to live in community together in the harmony created by the Spirit. Even those of us who would not naturally join together in community are called together in Christ. The community exists not just for its own sake, but for the sake of the world around them. We're not just a group of Presbyterians who worship God just for ourselves, for our own benefit, but we're gathered to be sent out. We come together to go forth and to share our gifts with those in need in our community. Our prayers, our worship, our fellowship, our service, our mission, all of these are ways we participate in God's kingdom and show the community around us what new creation in God's economy looks like. The gifts we share with each other and with our community are also ways we participate in this kingdom reality. The food we collect to feed those who are hungry, the cookies we bake for the Elkton Community Kitchen so their guests can enjoy some holiday cheer, the warm scarves and hats and mittens we collect to help people keep warm, the Christmas joy offering that's collected to help people just beyond our four walls and beyond our immediate community, even the undies we collect for Undies Sunday. All of these acts, no matter how small we think they are not just nice things we do because Jesus wants us to do nice things. No, these are acts of new creation. These are tangible ways we participate with God in ushering in the new creation God is bringing about until it comes in fullness. They are tangible signs that we're committed to living together in a new regime than that of the culture of self-centeredness and fear and scarcity that often surrounds us. We give generously and share what gifts we have because in doing so, we are demonstrating God's kingdom values to those around us. They're not just acts of charity, they're acts of new creation. When we extend fellowship to our friends and neighbors in our community, we're giving them a taste of what the abundance God has in store for all creation when it is ultimately made whole. When we pray for those in need in our families, in our community, in our world, we are aligning our wills and our desires with God's will and desire. A God who desires and is actively working to make all things new, to put all things right. They're not merely material acts. They are sacred acts. They are holy acts. They are acts of new creation, They are acts of hope. Theologian Karl Barth says, "What other time or season can or will the church ever have but that of Advent?" Advent is a challenging season. It's also a season of hope, one that can renew our faith in God, who did not leave us on our own to fix this broken, fallen world, but sent his own Son in the flesh to redeem it, and who promises to come again to put the world right once and for all. The church is to be a community of hope, rejoicing in the sure and certain knowledge that in Christ, God is making a new creation. The church lives in the present on the strength of that promised new creation. The closing chorus of the song I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon concludes, "When it's always winter but never Christmas, sometimes it feels like you're not with us. But deep inside our hearts we know that you are here and we will not lose hope." May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May God bless this message to our hearing. Amen.